Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see your smiling faces today. No raindrops dripping from our heads or off our clothes, thankfully, because the rain is gone, hopefully for a while. I understand there may be some in the future, this next week, but we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully it'll be in right proportion. So I hope you had a good week despite the weather, that things went well for you and you were able to accomplish what you wanted to do this week. You know, in a little more than a week, we will be keeping the Feast of Trumpets to begin the fall Holy Day season. And as we prepare for these days, we seek to better understand the meaning for those days and to really have in our hearts and minds what God wants us to learn from these days. So we are prepared to keep the Feast of Trumpets, and I thought it would be appropriate if we talked a little bit about that time when the Feast of Trumpets will be fulfilled. You know, one of the basic 20 beliefs of the Church of God, a worldwide association, is what is called return of Jesus Christ to the earth. That's belief number 19 in our beliefs, basic beliefs of the church. There are 20 of those basic beliefs, and this is number 19. So I thought we might just go over that basic belief and review what it's talking about for the church and what our commitment is in believing this is a time for the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Let me read what the belief says here. It says, at the end of the present evil age, Jesus Christ will visibly return to earth to establish the kingdom of God and to reign forever and ever and begin the 1,000-year period commonly called the millennium. He will sit upon the throne of David, ruling all nations as King of Kings, and serving as high priest to all who recognize him as their Lord and Master. As prophesied, he will at this time restore all things and establish the kingdom of God forever. So this is the basic belief. It gives a summary of that time, and it emphasizes the point that Jesus Christ will return to this earth. You know, since I've been grown and associated with churches and gone to church most of my life, of course, here in this church, the Church of God, we have always believed that Jesus Christ will return to the earth, but many of the churches do not have that belief and that confidence about Jesus returning to the earth. Only a few professing Christians do, few denominations, and those that believe Christ will return have gotten fewer and fewer over the time. They just, can't believe that that is the case. Most now believe that they will go to heaven and meet God there, but that God will not be coming back to the earth. We look at the situation and read the Bible, see what God has to say, and then realize what a shock they're going to have when that time comes and here comes Jesus Christ returning to the earth as God said he would. So I thought we might just take a little time to review some of the scriptures that highlight the fact that this is a reality. It's not something that's been fabricated or thought up by religious people. God has clearly outlined the fact in his word that he will send Jesus Christ to this earth to restore his kingdom here upon this earth. It truly will be a turning point in God's history or in man's history, the time when Jesus Christ does intervene. Satan will be bound. What a great day that will be. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, And this present evil age will be replaced by God's kingdom. And it will begin at the time of Christ returning to this earth. So today, I'd like for us to look at the Holy Day of Trumpets and think about and picture in our minds the momentous event about Christ's return. And let's review some of what God's Word reveals about His return so that we can see they come directly from God's Word and they paint the picture of what will be taking place at that time. You know, this can help us strengthen our understanding as well as see the actions we need to take in preparation for that time. Because we're committed to look forward to that time, and that is a time of God's intervention and giving of salvation for those that are first fruits. So we have a commitment to look forward to that time and to be preparing when Christ does return to this earth. So let's look at an overview situation, some of the scriptures that highlight this. So we'll begin by reviewing some of these scriptures that prove Christ will return and is planning to do so at the right time. Let's turn to Acts, the first chapter, Acts chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 7 and read through verse 11. And he said to them, this is Christ speaking, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, he was talking to his disciples here, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So here's a clear indication that Christ went into heaven. He was observed going into heaven by the disciples, and he will return as he went up from the way that he came, went up. He will come back that same way. Also, let's turn to John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. And let's look at verse 1, John 14. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 in John 14. Says, this is Christ speaking, says, let your hearts not be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So again, the emphasis being that he is returning and he is in heaven now preparing for us at his return. So he said, I go and prepare a place for you. What he's preparing are those offices that he plans for the first fruit to take possession of at his return. It says mansions in some places, and other places it mentions offices or responsibilities. Also in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, Zechariah 14, and let's begin in verse 4, Zechariah 14, 4. It says in Zechariah 14, 4, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem to the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. So the Lord will descend from heaven, and he will stand on the Mount of Olives, and that's where he departed from the Mount of Olives. Back again to Acts, the 19th verse, 3:19. Verse 19. Verse 19 starts by saying, repent therefore and be converted. That's a responsibility we have, to repent and be converted as first fruits, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So God has intended from the very beginning to provide a Savior, who is Jesus Christ, and for him to come back to the earth to bring about salvation for mankind. So we look forward to that time with joy, with thankfulness and appreciation. You know, Christ is coming to restore all of God's ways here upon this earth. But also in Daniel, a chapter that I'm sure you're familiar with, Daniel, let's look at Daniel 2. Daniel 2 and verse 44. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, and the clay, the silver and the gold, the God of heaven made known to the king what will come to pass after this, that the dream is certain and it is interpretation is sure. So this is the situation where God is revealing what Nebuchadnezzar was dreaming about, revealing that his feet would come back to the earth. And as prophecy shows, Christ would return and destroy the world's governments and replace them with God's kingdom. So another scripture that shows the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. In Revelation, the 11th chapter, Revelation 11, and let's look at verse 15. Well, I'm looking at the wrong page here. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seven angels sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." It's reigning here upon this earth. He's returning to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords here upon this earth. While we're in Revelation, let's just go back a little bit further toward the front of chapter 3. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Verse 10, it says in Revelation 3, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man takes your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So we see here that Jesus Christ is coming to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And during this time that we look forward to, we wait for Christ's return, we're supposed to be growing and overcoming. This is our calling, and we must not neglect that. You know, we can go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. I won't do that, but we could go back there, and it says, "For you see your calling." We're called to become begotten sons of God, and then to be born into his family, and to be first fruits, the helpers of others in the future. So let's go back to a scripture that we use from time to time in funerals, one that's appropriate about the future, 1 Corinthians 15, and let's look at verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit, and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming." So he is coming back to this earth to set up God's kingdom and to bring us with him at that time to share in the governance of God here under Jesus Christ. Also, another scripture that's used is in 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, and let's begin in verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So we're to comfort one another with the words that God has given us about his return, his governance to be here on the earth. And it's depressing to see the situation in the world today that people do not realize from looking at God's word that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. It will be a time of sorrow and suffering before God's kingdom is established, but it will take place. Again, in Revelation, the first chapter, Revelation 1, and let's look at verse 4. Beginning in verse 4, Revelation 1, it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. So another statement showing the reality of his coming. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the faithful firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So it's very clear God's intention to send Jesus Christ back to this earth. These are only a few of the scriptures that are available, if you wanted to make a study of it, that show that Jesus Christ will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and establish God's government here upon this earth. Now, what will happen to indicate that Jesus Christ is going to return? What will happen? Let's turn back to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24, and let's look at verse 21. Matthew 24, let's begin in verse 21. It says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. For the very elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So we're blessed, God, to know that God will provide protection. He will intervene in this earth to stop mankind from destroying this planet. Jesus Christ will intervene to do that. For there will be great tribulations. And we want to see that stopped. And Jesus Christ will intervene to do that. In Isaiah, the second chapter, Isaiah Isaiah 2, and let's begin in verse, let's see, Isaiah 2 and verse 2. It says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it." This is after Jesus Christ returns and establishes God's governance. "Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke them," or rebuke many people. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." I know in the past there have been pictures of the statue that's there near the UN building in New York with the man taking the sword, and it shows the statue, and he's beating that sword into a plowshare. I've had opportunity to see that when I've been there in times past, and it really is a momentous thing to think about how God is going to transform this earth, taking the implements that are here and destroying them and using them for implements of righteousness and of good, and produce the fruits that God wants in this earth. There will be a transformation take place. God's government will be established. Another question would be, will the world expect this intervention of Christ and his return? Will the world expect it? Let's turn and see what it says back in Matthew. Matthew again in verse 24, and let's go to verse 14 this time. 24, verse 14. "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So there will be a witness, but will the world accept it, understand it, believe it? And then it goes on in verse, let's go to chapter 28. And we see that we're to be a part of that witness, setting an example. In verse 18 of verse 28, it reads, "And Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or do all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So there will be a proclamation that goes forth and be a witness to the world, but few will probably heed that at that time. But this is our job, to proclaim, help support and help proclaim that good news to the world. That's an example of preparation, that the time is nearing for Christ's return to this earth. Let's look at Luke again. We're getting to see a lot of pages in the Bible today. Luke 21, and let's look at verse 25. "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are to come upon the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads high, because your redemption draws near. So there will be signs, there will be a witness, there will be an education made available to the world, but very few probably will accept it. But Jesus Christ will see that it is proclaimed as a witness and a warning. Also back in Matthew again, 24. Matthew 24, let's look at verse 37. Verse 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." So we see that it says that most will not heed, they will not know, they will not understand. But God will intervene, as in the day of Noah. Another question we might ask is, can we know when Christ will return? Can we know when Christ will return? I'm sure you already know that. You know that you don't know. Matthew 24 again. And let's look at verse 32. Matthew 24, verse 32 through 36. "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches, or branch, has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So God is saying, you know, history shows that mankind will not pay attention to the warnings in many cases that they are given, just as in the day of Noah. Let's look on down, let's skip on down to verse 42 in Matthew 24. Verse 42. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, and naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick." I'm in the wrong, man, I tell you. It's not my glasses. I can see, but I didn't see. Let's see. I said I was going to 24:42, didn't I? It says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming." So that's very clear and very straightforward. We don't know the hour that he is coming. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So, we may know the season, but we certainly will not know the hour of that return. So it is our responsibility, we realize now, to watch and be ready for Christ's return. We need to be watching and being ready for that time. We as God's first fruit really believe God's structure, the information and information that has been given to us about the return of Jesus Christ. We believe that he's coming back to the earth to establish his kingdom and the governance over the earth. So it is our responsibility now to watch world conditions and as well watch ourselves so that we are ready when God sends Jesus Christ back to the earth. Let's look at what he says in Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke 21 and verse 34. But it says, "But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things, and that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So a warning there to watch ourselves, to heed yourself, to look at ourselves. Last week we had a sermon on, you know, assessing ourselves, just like for the Passover. This is a time that we need to look continually at assessing how we stand. Are we fulfilling what God called us to do? The things here that God has given us to do. So a self-assessment is appropriate, that we look and we watch not only the things that are taking place in the world, but how we are reacting to what God told us to do. In 2 Timothy, let's turn to chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4. And let's look and begin in verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." It was Paul talking to Timothy at this time. He said, be watchful, endure afflictions, do the work. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." So Paul was relating to him that he knew his time was short. "And I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." So Paul was emphasizing the fact that we are to come to love Christ appearing, coming back to bring God's government to this earth, to bring about peace and happiness and joy, to look forward to that time when Christ will restore God's kingdom on this earth. So are we to demonstrate that we love his appearing? I think we should. We should be demonstrating that we love his appearing. We know that Christ is going to return, and that the world's answer to problems that exist today will be solved at that time. There will be happiness and peace and love and salvation to mankind. So we as first fruits need to be growing in our love of his appearing. The importance of that. You know, there are several things I thought of that could help me grow in that love, and so I'd like to share those with you this afternoon. The first one is being zealous in well-doing. Being zealous in well-doing. sometimes we get in a funk, so to speak. We get in a rut, and we need to get ourselves out of a rut and be willing to be zealous for God's way. I know you look at the TV these days, and it gets to the point where you see one murder, one riot, one bad thing right after another. There's so few things on there that are uplifting and encouraging that you get despondent about the situation. You get in a rut with those kinds of things, but it's getting to the point where now when I see that, I want to get away from it. I want to turn from it. And I have to say to myself when I think those things, your kingdom come. You know, when is this going to stop? When are we going to see a change in the world? When your kingdom comes. So I say a little prayer to myself, God, send your kingdom. Bring this to an end, because this is ridiculous what we see taking place. Let's turn to Titus, the second chapter. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So Paul is encouraging us to be zealous for good works. And this is one of the things that we need to look at when we are doing a self-assessment. Are we zealous for good works? Do we counter the negatives in the world today with the positive reactions, the positive ways? The second thing I think would be beneficial is to pray often for God's kingdom to come. Just like I said earlier, we have many occasions we can say an instant prayer, thy kingdom come, you know, because that's what we want to happen rather than what we see happening around us in the world today. Let's look at Matthew 6. God told us to pray according to the outline given in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6 and verse 9 it says, in this manner therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we see the emphasis there. We counter the world situations that we see with a prayer continually for God's kingdom to come. That's the solution to the world's problems, is God's government now upon this earth. And back in Matthew again in 6 and verse 33, one we're familiar with, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we have enough of those troubles today, and we need to be praying fervently and often, your kingdom come. You know, when we see those situations, we should begin to have that in our minds and respond in that way. The third thing I thought would be beneficial and helpful would be to continue to watch. You may want to make a Bible study of what God's Word says about watching. There are two facets, more or less, of watching. watching what's going on around us in the world today, and watching ourselves. And it's important that we do the both, that we do both. As I showed in Luke 21, verse 34 through 36, let me just turn back there again. Luke 21, we'll just read that again. Luke 21, 34 through 36, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell upon the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So quite an admonition to continue to watch and fulfill our calling as God desires, so that we can be helpers of the joy of others in God's kingdom in the future. So in summary, we see that Jesus Christ will return to this earth. This is one of our basic beliefs. We have confidence in that he will intervene to bring about God's kingdom. And we are blessed to know this, and we know it's sure. But as well, let us do our part now to be ready, so we will love his appearing.